back in Manitoba many moons ago. Well, there's the music. We know it's time for Abandoned Manitoba and Gordon Goldsborough. And he's with me in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Lori.
What tale do you have to tell today?
Well, we're here to tell the story of the Winnipeg Canoe Club.
Oh, it's been abandoned? What?
Well, there are still remnants of the Winnipeg Canoe Club on the landscape, but unfortunately the institution that existed for over 100 years is gone.
I had no idea it was so old, but it makes me feel incredibly old because, my parents used to belong to it.
Mm-hmm. It was very active. I mean, it was the place to go if you wanted a place for summer recreation. Most summer sports, in fact, were supported at the Canoe Club. It wasn't, despite the name, focused solely on canoeing. It was all range of things from tennis and badminton, racquetball, handball, basketball, volleyball, golf.
And who dreamed it up?
Well, it goes back to February of 1893. There was three gentlemen from Winnipeg that were interested in canoeing, and they lamented the fact that even though Winnipeg had these two major rivers, the Red and the Assiniboine, they didn't have a club, a sort of a recreational club for canoeing. Now, they did have a rowing club, which goes back, in fact, even further, that was for mostly competitive rowing. They didn't have a recreational spot, so they thought this was a good thing they should have. So the three of them started to enlist other members of the community, and in March of 1893, they formed the Winnipeg Canoe Club.
And where was it originally?
Well, initially, they wanted a spot, of course, on the river so that they could launch their canoes. And what I've been able to determine is that their first clubhouse, which didn't exist for very long, was on the banks of the Red River, pretty much where the Norwood Bridge is today.
Mm-hmm.
But it was only there for a short time, and in 1910, they moved to a new facility that was on Jubilee. And, of course, Jubilee is also kind of skirting the Red River. It's on the north side of sort of a loop of the river. And they had a clubhouse there for 3 years. And then they made the leap across the Red River. Today, it's sort of Kingston Row. There's sort of a little cul-de-sac, a little sort of a loop of the Red River. But that used to be known as Elm Park. It was actually a private park.
Hmm.
And so they moved just a little past Elm Park in what was then known as the rural municipality of St. Vitale. And that's where they built the clubhouse that existed for much of its history.
Okay. You mentioned it was originally designed for canoeing.
That's right.
For water sports.
So canoeing, sailing even. They would erect a sail on a canoe and use it to sail up and down the Red River. Because they were right on the river, they could swim. And it was very popular, in fact, to swim in the Red River. Diving off the dock. They had a dock that they would launch their canoes from, so they would dive. So any kind of summer recreational sports that involved water was popular at the Canoe Club. But inevitably, of course, people wanted to do more. They wanted to make it sort of a social institution. So they had the clubhouse, and there was, of course, socializing that would occur there. They had meals there. They had banquets and so on. So in 1918, they opened a golf course. And, of course, that became very popular because it was fairly easily accessible. In fact, they touted the fact that it was only 20 minutes from the corner of Portage and Main. 1919, they put in tennis courts, because that was also a very popular thing at the early 20th century. Tennis was very popular, so they put in tennis courts. So that was kind of the major part of their activity, focused on the water, and then these land sports as well.
And any winter stuff?
Well, yes, inevitably they would have done some winter sports. Again, snowshoeing on the river would have been popular. There was also some indications that they did some kind of skiing, although skiing would have been the cross country because, of course, there aren't a lot of hills in that vicinity.
Right.
But in fact, interesting enough, the members of the Canoe Club were instrumental in establishing downhill skiing here in Manitoba.
Oh. Where?
Well, not here, of course.
Yeah.
They actually went out to Larivière. Mm-hmm. In fact, way back, listeners may recall, many weeks back in this series, we talked about the origins of the ski hill at Larivière,
mm-hmm.
and we said that a bunch of people from Winnipeg, we didn't say very much about those people, and it turns out it was a contingent of members of the Canoe Club who were, pining for something to do in the wintertime. They'd swam and canoed and all sorts of things in the summer. They wanted something to do in the winter, and of course, downhill skiing was the thing. So they were instrumental in getting that ski area established as well.
And who were the members? You said it was businessmen that started it. So mm-hmm. was this kind of business class?
I suspect so. I mean, it was a private club. The membership dues were fairly considerable. So, you know, you would have to have means to be able to pay these dues. I think if you look at the roster of some of the early members, they are a who's who of the powerful of Winnipeg. The president was William White, who was the general superintendent of the Canadian Pacific Railway. Mm-hmm. Very powerful man. Hugh John MacDonald, who was the only son of Sir John A. MacDonald, our first prime minister. Lawyers, businessmen. Well, in fact, the first Commodore. Commodore, by the way, was the title they gave to the person who was the leader of the club.
Commodore.
appropriate, sort of a nautical theme.
Yes.
The first Commodore was a guy named George Harris, and he was a businessman involved in real estate and investing.
I don't hear a lot of women's names being mentioned as the founders.
Well, that's actually the case. You're right. Women were not permitted to be members. They could participate as guests of the members, because members could bring guests, although they were always told, you know, be careful. You don't want to take too much advantage of that, because if everybody brought guests, you know, this place would be overrun.
With women.
With women, too. They said there was only to be a maximum of 350 members, and all of them were men at first. And in fact, it wasn't until quite a bit later, when they opened the golf course, for example, women were permitted to golf. When they had the tennis courts, they were permitted to play tennis.
That was big of them.
But they didn't actually have an associate membership for women until 1941. And it's been fairly recent that the women were full, you know, fledged members of the Winnipeg Canoe Club.
But as you say, this is a Band of Manitoba. Mm-hmm. The Canoe Club is part of the series. So what happened?
Well, inevitably, things started to decline. They did have a membership in the range of about 1,000 people as recently as the 1960s. But there was competition, basically. So they were finding it increasingly difficult. By the early 70s, they were starting to have trouble. Well, in fact, they didn't have a waiting list anymore. They used to, back in the old days, always have a waiting list of people who wanted membership. And they started to realize they had to do some things differently. So one of the things they did, for instance, is that they installed air conditioning in the clubhouse to make it more appealing. They built a larger banquet hall so they could attract bigger social functions and raise money that way. They built a swimming pool because I guess people just didn't want to swim in the river. So
why not?
Well, you know, the things that might be in the water. Uh-huh. Towards the end, they even carved off a piece of their land. They were right along the Red River, and it was prime land. So they carved off a little piece for sort of a condo development as a way of generating some revenue as well.
But?
Well, unfortunately, the membership continued to wane. So in fact, by 1993, the city stepped in because they hadn't paid their tax bill. It was something like $140,000. Oh. And the city took over the operation of the Canoe Club. Now, that was a momentous year, 1993, because, of course, it was the 100th anniversary of the club. And they kept it going for a little while. Ultimately, the organization they brought in to run it, it was a consortium of German cultural organizations. Hmm. They just couldn't run it in a financially viable manner either. So the club finally closed with declining membership in May of 2001.
Wow. So slow decline.
Well, slow decline. And even then it was even not a full decline because there was still the facility there. They had, for example, the dock and the boathouse that had been used for the canoeing aspects of the club. And they continued to be used by a rowing club that was based there. They still had these outdoor tennis courts that had been used, in fact, during the 1967 Pan Am Games, were by all descriptions world-class tennis courts.
Mm-hmm.
They continued to be used by the local tennis club, but they just couldn't find someone able to make a proposal to bring the whole thing back online, not in a way that the city thought was, all-encompassing. They wanted a proposal that would do everything, that would use the entire site. Finally, in 2006, they entertained a proposal from a Saskatoon-based land developer who wanted to construct a residential complex there for seniors. And so, unfortunately, in mid-2006, the last clubhouse, the one that had been built in 1955 after a fire, was torn down, and they replaced it with this seniors complex.
So any remnants?
Well, indeed there are. Depending on how you define it, there are actually as many as three remnants of the old Canoe Club. One is the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
The golf course is still there. It's still actually called the Canoe Club Golf Course. It's visible as you're going down Dunkirk Drive. If you go down to the bank of the river, there is the remains of the dock. So the canoe aspect is still visible there. And then if you go to the provincial archives, there's probably the best remnant, which is many of the records of the Canoe Club. You know, unfortunately, a lot of organizations that peter out don't consider their long-term legacy. And so a lot of valuable records are simply discarded or squirreled away in hard-to-find places. Someone in the past put all of the records of the Canoe Club at the Provincial Archives, and it's a wonderful collection. It's so rich, lots of detail. Much of what I learned about the Canoe Club came from looking at those records that are deposited for hopefully in perpetuity at the Provincial Archives.
Fascinating stuff. Thank you.
You're welcome.
But now we need a clue for next week.
Indeed. So next week we're going to Swan River, Manitoba, out west, and we're going to see a log building that has very unusual architecture.
You don't think of log buildings as having a lot of architecture in general. They have a bunch
nope.
of logs.
This one does.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Laura.
We'll see you next week.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.